God's counsel to honor our parents is not just for young children. It's for adult children as well. How can you honor your parents as they age and need extra care?
We'll discuss this today on Real Family Talk. Join us. Welcome to Real Family Talk. On today's episode, we are highlighting the responsibility of caring for aging parents and how we can honor them during their sunset years. During this segment, we're talking with Dawn Venn, who will share her journey as a caregiver for her 92-year-old mother.
When we think of caregiving, we mostly think about caring for children. However, caregiving comes in different forms, often suddenly and unexpectedly, as the result of an accident or terminal illness of a loved one. Dawn, this is exactly what happened to you. Tell us about how you became your mother's caregiver.
Sure, yes. We knew the time might be coming. Mom was getting older. We were missionaries overseas, so we did come back so that we could be closer in the event, you know, to care for them. So we wanted to move Mom in then, but she wouldn't have anything to do with that. And so what we moved her into a smaller place, moved her out of her home and into an apartment. But we wanted to move her into an assisted living situation. So when she would need that help, it would be there for her. Oh, no, I don't need any help. I'm not doing that. So we did oblige by her desire. And then just 3 years later, she had an accident in her apartment and she couldn't live alone anymore. The social worker sat down with us in the rehab center and said, she cannot go back to living alone. So what's your plan?
Yeah.
And I just kind of looked at her and I looked at my brother and he looked at me and we said,
The plan is gone.
Yes. Yes, Mom, of course you can live with us. And so that's when it started a whole whirlwind of events to get ready for her to move in with us.
Wow. Now, you mentioned something that I think is really important earlier when you wanted her to move in with one of the siblings. You were one of your brothers. Mm-hmm. And she said no. Mm-hmm. And so why was it important for you to allow her to stay on her own?
She was independent. She was taking care of all of her needs. She had lived alone for 30 years, took care of everything, driving and everything. I mean, you don't want to take away independence, and she didn't want to be a burden. You know, well, when I get older, I'm like, well, you're 89. But okay, when you get older, we'll talk about it again.
So what I'm hearing you say, Dawn, is really you're giving her her dignity, you're
yes.
giving her her space, mm-hmm. and regarding her wishes. Mm-hmm. And this is very important at this stage of life, yes?
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. And of course, we want her to stay in her environment that she's known, and her church and her doctors and her shopping areas. We didn't want to uproot her, you
sure.
know, but in the end, we had
right.
to do that. But.
So then there was an incident, mm-hmm. as you mentioned, mm-hmm. which required her now to live with someone.
Right.
And so tell us a little bit more about mm-hmm. how it's felt for you to be a caregiver to the one who was once your caregiver.
Yes, yes. You know, she's been with us now for, I think, 1,187 days,
oh,
you know, something like that.
You're marking it on the calendar.
Yes, yes. And you know, when she had the accident, and then, you know, she has severe arthritis and joints and lots of issues. And so with the muscle contracting up and it just PT for a year, she just couldn't, you know, stand and hold her own weight. And so then I'm like telling the PT, but wait, I didn't sign up for having my mom in a wheelchair. You know, this was temporary. So you've got to get her to walking again.
Wow.
But, you know, now we have to accept that reality, which is very devastating for her. you know, to all of a sudden be relying so much on us, and it's new to her and it's new to us.
Yeah, you know, I hear you when you said it's like, wait a second, okay, you're coming to live with me, mm-hmm. so you're going to get PT, and you're going to be able to at least do some of the independent things you were
yes.
doing, and then they tell you she has to be in a wheelchair.
Mm-hmm.
What in the world was going on in your mind, your head?
Yeah, well, you're just kind of thinking, okay, the logistics, can we get, you know, can she maneuver around? And, you know, so we're, you know, when you have little children, you're baby-proofing your house, but now we're like, okay, does a wheelchair fit through here? Can she use the restroom? Can, you know, all these questions. And so, you know, that took a lot of effort to make sure it was a place she could get around as much as she could.
Well, you had to do some pretty substantial yeah. changes to
yeah,
your own home.
Change, you know, the bathroom situation. So, you know, because you have to think about, well, she needs to shower, and how does that work? And so we had to remodel. Yeah.
So how has meeting the often overwhelming realities drawn you closer to Jesus?
Mm. Well, you know, it's been overwhelming. So it's given me the opportunity to really lean in on Jesus and rely on him to give me the strength I don't possess, and to give me wisdom and understanding and a whole lot of patience, because, you know, there's a lot of trials. I mean, you know, testing of that patience, and sometimes your loved ones, your mother, or, you know, can push those buttons in a way that no one else can. So yeah, patience, lots of patience.
So what I'm hearing you say, Dawn, is that despite the fact that you love this person, we're talking about your mom here, and you know that she did so much for you while you were a child. Now, on this side of life, it gets challenging because
yes.
it seems like you can't do enough
yes.
or do it quickly enough or do it quite the way she needs you to do it.
Yes, yeah. But, you know, people always said, oh, it's like having a toddler again. You know, you've got to just be direct, and, you know, they'll get into trouble. But yet, it's like having a toddler, but then they're losing skills and abilities. And so we're mourning, you know, the fact that she's in a wheelchair and she can't do this for herself. She doesn't drive anymore. She's lost her independence. So we mourn those, each of those losses.
Those transitions. And, you know, with the toddler, just to push that
yes.
metaphor, with the toddler,
yes.
you know, the toddler is growing out of
yes.
it and growing towards independence. But with an older relative, like
mm-hmm.
one's parents, it's going in the opposite way.
Exactly.
You know, there is no hope that it's going to get better because
mm-hmm.
the skills are declining
mm-hmm.
daily
mm-hmm.
and in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
And it means that the responsibility gets heavier and heavier
mm-hmm.
on you as a caregiver.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit, because you've said in the past, as you've shared this testimony, how the fifth commandment has
mm.
become more meaningful to you
mm-hmm.
since taking care of your mom,
mm-hmm.
despite the challenges and all of that.
Mm-hmm. And what it means to honor my mom, because in seeing her lose her her skills and her independence is also a frustration for me, and I'm tempted to, like, Mom, you just did this, you can do this, but then she sometimes can't, you know, or she'll forget, or so trying not to point that out, but instead of that, to point out what she can do
mm.
and maybe alter it just so she can have wins.
Thank you so much, Dawn. That was just such a beautiful testimony that you've shared. When we return, we'll be talking with licensed clinical social worker and psychotherapist Kimberly Rosales about her experience working as a social worker with the elderly and helping families make caregiving decisions. We will be right back.
Today on Real Family Talk, we are talking about caring for aging parents. Licensed clinical social worker and psychotherapist Kimberly Rosales joins us now as we continue the discussion. Kimberly, thank you for being here.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Wonderful. Well, you, as a social worker, you've worked with families who are faced with aging parents and caregiving decisions. So tell us a little bit about why this is such a critical conversation to talk about and think about as our parents are aging.
Yeah, I think that, you know, as we age and as we grow older, there are changes. And sometimes those changes are not things that we have control over, and they can and do impact our lives. And sometimes how we come together as family and support one another, and also just having a pulse on what's going on is an important thing too.
Yeah, but is it a pretty difficult conversation though for families to have? Especially when your parents are still independent, as Dawn mentioned in the last segment, that her mom didn't really want to have that conversation and was, you know, she says, I can still drive, I can still go to the grocery store, I can still take care of myself, and she wanted to be by herself. So how does a family begin to have this dialogue with their parents as they age?
That's a really important question, and I think one that so many of us are faced with when we're looking at how can we best support our parents or be a caregiver or step into that role for somebody. And I think, you know, probably you and I and many of us, when we think about ourselves in older age, we think about ourselves doing a lot of the same things that we're doing now. You know, we want to maintain activities that we enjoy, going on walks, going on hikes, doing our own shopping, doing our own thing. And part of that plan is not to, you know, step away from those things or not to have that independence. So I think that the way that we perceive ourselves, sometimes that's just not the vision we had. And, you know, thinking about the way we perceive ourselves, I think sometimes as we age, we can see ourselves as being more capable and almost wanting ourselves to be more independent. And there's a resistance to letting go of that. You know, it wasn't the plan. It's not what we envisioned.
Right.
You know?
Since that's such a reality that must be dealt with, how can caregivers help their loved ones to manage that reasonable level of independence and perhaps preserving that person's dignity and encouraging that person as they lose skills?
Yeah. And I think that's a topic that can be difficult to, you know, engage with somebody on, because, you know, somebody can sense, like, where is this going? What changes are they trying to discuss here? How will that change my life? And I want to be in charge of my life. And you know, I think really the way it can be framed is aligning your goals in a way with theirs. I want you to remain independent. I want you to be able to do what you want to do with your life.
And a purpose.
Yeah.
You know, affirming their purpose.
Yeah.
I like that line of reasoning and the languaging that you are very carefully crafting for us and for our audience. You know, so basically what we're trying to do is affirm their purpose for being rather than curtailing that and taking it away from them before it's too soon, I should say.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, and it always feels too soon, you know?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely, it always feels too soon.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do appreciate your approach, because oftentimes, and even in this segment, we're particularly speaking about the caregiver, but I hear you saying, let's pay attention. If we're going to have this conversation, let's pay attention to affirming the person who's losing these skills and listening to them. So how do you facilitate these conversations? How do you help those of us who feel too young to become caregivers, as in the case of Dawn? And when you have a resistant parent, how do you honor them? How do you pay attention to, I know I'm asking a lot of questions, but, you know, bringing it all together as someone who's worked in this situation, how have you helped people manage and facilitate that conversation?
Yeah. So I found myself in that position many times in the type of work I've done over the years. And you can feel a lot of times from the adult children, they really want to do right by their parents. They really want to do the best that they can for them. And And, you know, they're faced with, you know, sort of disappointment if change is talked about and whatnot. But sometimes I kind of point something out in a little different perspective of sometimes changes we make actually encourage and facilitate longer, like more longevity in independence. You know, if there's somebody who's a little unsteady on their feet at home, you know, maybe a rolling walker is not how they envision themselves walking and being seen by others or using a wheelchair or whatnot. But what
it's a little embarrassing.
Yeah, yeah. And I think, you know, sometimes there's that piece of you envision yourself a certain way. Yeah. And then you don't, even if it's not about others looking at you and seeing you using adaptive equipment, it might be in how you perceive yourself, you know. And I think that sometimes just talking about how certain supports and certain help can actually facilitate your goal of independence longer. And I don't like to always paint doom or gloom, but sometimes when we ignore some of those things, it can lead to a catastrophe or a fall or a broken hip, which can lead to other sort of setbacks. And that's not in alignment with what your goals are, you know. And sometimes that does look like a change in living environment and whatnot. So sometimes paying attention to like the little supports can help prevent bigger issues from happening and really support what the person's goals really are, you know?
Yeah, it's really interesting because I have an aunt that raised me and she was driving up until last year, her 90th birthday. Yeah. And I was a little concerned about it, but you know, I wanted to honor that. And she made the decision herself to stop driving. She just said, you know, I just don't feel comfortable driving anymore. So I was relieved.
Yeah,
you know, and
that's
because
a hard
you always hear about that conversation where you have to take your parents'
take the keys away. Yeah,
you know,
so it's great when you can do that. But in addition to this, there are also some families who are caregiving who find themselves as a part of the sandwich generation. You know, they are taking care of elderly parents and then they have children that they're still responsible for. What kind of encouragement do you have for them?
That's a tremendous responsibility, I think. You know, we for those of us who have children, you just kind of know how busy and involved that is, and in conjunction with your own responsibilities in life, and then you're caregiving for, you know, an adult parent, an older adult parent, and that just compounds things. More doctor's appointments, more on the shopping list, more trips to the pharmacy, more, just more to fit on the plate. And, you know, I think it also, in addition to more responsibilities, it can be a really precious moment in time to capitalize on having their company around and having their company around your children and talking with people. Sometimes I do sense, you know, one can report there's some sadness in not knowing their grandma or grandpa better or not having been able to spend much time with them. They'll hear, you know, wonderful stories from their mom or dad, but then they kind of think, oh, I didn't really know them that well. Yeah. So it can be also a really precious time and it's not forever, you know.
Right.
Thank you for being so insightful. We will return after a short break. Stay with us.
We're back on Real Family Talk discussing the highlights of caring for aging parents with social worker and psychotherapist Kimberly Rosales and with Don Venn, who is in fact a caregiver amongst many other things.
Kimberly, we've touched on the whole issue of caring for aging parents, and we'd like to transition to speaking about some tools and resources that can help us to manage this process a little easier. One of those is advanced directives. What is an advanced directive and how do we get one?
That's an excellent question. And I think a pretty important part of, you know, as we age and we're growing, you know, and we're experiencing those, you know, health things that can come up sometimes. And honestly, we don't even have to wait until our older years to think about advanced directives. But advanced directives are a really helpful tool and that it kind of can communicate what it is that our wishes would be if we entered into some sort of an event where we couldn't communicate those things anymore. There are different types of advance directives. So there could be like a living will that talks about what you'd want if you entered into an end stage or a persistent vegetative state or terminal condition, you know, and what we might want today may not be the same thing we'd want if we were in one of those stages, you know,
right.
And it provides some insight and some guidance, you know. Somebody might say, oh, my mom definitely would have wanted a feeding tube if for some reason she wasn't getting the nutrients she needed. But maybe her answer would be different if she was in an end-stage condition. So having those conversations, they can definitely be difficult, but they can also be very helpful in understanding how can I, you know, best honor my mm-hmm. mom or my dad or whoever I'm caring for? How can I understand what their wishes would be,
right.
you know?
So I'm hearing you say that basically an advanced directive is being proactive. And not having any guessing games when these crucial times come, because you've had the conversation and the person has been able to give a response when they are sane or in
when
their right mind or when they're able to do so, rather than when they're compromised.
Absolutely.
And are not able to, in fact, articulate exactly what they want.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah, and I think you said something also about end stage and that it might be different today mm-hmm. than if you were in an end stage. So if I'm 50 something and I have an accident, mm-hmm. I may want a feeding tube. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. if I'm 90, I may not want a feeding tube, mm-hmm. right? And mm-hmm. so this is why it's important perhaps to update mm-hmm. the advanced directives, or as you're saying, I guess you would do it along certain stages.
Yeah, that's a very excellent point as well. And you should review your advanced directives periodically. Sometimes as we gain different insights or we may feel differently about it, you know, many times maybe those things will not change, you know, your opinions and decisions on those things. But if they do, reviewing it can kind of be a fresh sort of look at it, and you can update it whenever you want to. But it can be a really helpful tool. And also when you think about sometimes having more than one child, and if you don't know exactly what your parent would want, or both children are trying to really advocate for what they think mom or dad would want, but those things are actually different, mm-hmm. it can help to avoid those struggles between children who are both good guys and trying to do the right thing, you know?
Yep, and we've all been there, and we all know of stories where that has happened and
yeah.
created conflict. So I can see how that could reduce a lot of conflict as you're caring for your parents. Dawn, what about you? Have you been able to do an advanced directive with your mom? And was it
yes.
easy or hard, or how did that conversation
no,
go?
No, because with the help of a social worker and explaining it and helping direct us to forms, and we took care of that. And she's on her 92nd birthday, so just recently.
Yeah.
But it is a comfort, and she found it to be a comfort. Like,
good.
Okay, let's walk through the steps, and let's decide now instead of when there's an emergency mm-hmm. or when, you know, tragedy strikes and you don't know what is it they wanted.
Yeah. So we don't have a lot of time left, but there's one critical thing that I think it's important for us to get to, and that is the care, the self-care of the caregiver. Mm-hmm. And what do you do to care for yourself? And Kimberly, what would you advise? So if you can just tell us briefly or what you would like to do.
Well, I'm becoming more and more, you know, aware that, you know, taking care of myself is important. And, you know, that's where the teamwork comes in, and that care, that support of others around you, like my family, you know, my husband, our two kids who are ending their college years. And so my son is a nursing student, so he gets lots of hands-on practice with grandma. And, you know, so that helps, because we all take a role. And, you know, you come by, check on grandma, help her with whatever she needs.
Mm. That's beautiful. That's beautiful. And Kimberly, last
yeah.
advice for caregivers, what else would you suggest?
Yeah, I really liked what Dawn shared, and I think leaning on your social supports, that could be family, that could be friends, it could be resources. You know, your providers might have insights and resources that can be helpful, your local social services office. There's all kinds of resources, and sometimes just asking for help mm-hmm. Is just so important. And I think we take this responsibility that we have to do it all, but you don't have to do it all. And I just encourage people to just say when they need something and reach out, and yeah.
Excellent.
Kimberly, thank you so much for joining us and sharing such valuable information. And thank you, Dawn, for sharing your own personal experience. As you think about caring for your aging parents, we leave you with this verse from Ephesians 6:2. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise.
Thank you for watching Real Family Talk. Join us again when we'll share more about strengthening families and inspiring hope. See you next time.